This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Defending NHL Eastern Conference champion Florida Panthers look to recapture that title and more in the 2024 playoffs.
Down to the goal line, Kachuk in first shot. He scores! He scores!
Finds it to the circle, Verhaeghe shot, top shelf, he scores! Carter Verhaeghe, top shelf, and the Panthers win it in overtime!
This is Panthers Playoff Preview with Doug Plagans on AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Panthers Playoff Preview is fueled by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks.
That intro made us think back to some of those moments from last spring. That run to the Stanley Cup Final for the Panthers. That was last season's great playoff run. It's time for the Panthers to start another playoff run, and that run could begin on Sunday. Game one, round one, Sunday. Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Doug Plagans here with you. Our annual tradition, the playoff preview special. And we're with you for the next couple of hours. Doug Plagans here with you. Vlad Lusant on the other side of the glass. And, well, we'll get you all set for the Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. The first round series, the renewal of the Sunshine State Showdown. It begins Sunday, 12:30 here at Amerant Bank Arena. I'm doing the show from the home broadcast booth right here at Amerant Bank Arena. It's a totally empty bowl right now. It's as calm as can be inside Amerant Bank Arena right now. But it'll be anything but calm when the Panthers and the Lightning get things going on Sunday. Again, 12:30. It's a 12:30 matinee start for Game 1. That's going to be Sunday. You want to make sure you get here for that one. Get here early. FloridaPanthers.com, of course, for all the information as it pertains to Game 1. We're going to be on the air across the Panthers radio network, beginning with Panthers Preview at noon to get you all set up for that. We've got lots coming your way up until that point. Of course, we're with you here for the next couple of hours. We've got the Panthers Insider Show across the radio network coming up on Saturday morning. There's going to be another edition of the Territory Talk podcast getting dropped here anytime now, I believe. And we had one go up yesterday as well. So much out there to consume, but this Panthers team this year, consume Panthers hockey in mass quantities. It's good for you. Consume it from all different places. There's a lot of good stuff out there right now, and we're going to get you all set up in a number of different ways, number of different places, as we get set for the game coming up on Sunday afternoon. So what do we have for you here on the annual playoff preview show? Well, we have some exciting guests stopping by. Joining us live coming up next segment, about 15 or so minutes from now, one of our favorites, and you think this show is a tradition? We haven't had a preseason special or a playoff preview special without Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press stopping by in quite some time. I don't even know the last time we had one of our preseason or playoff specials without Tim. So Tim's going to be joining us coming up in segment number two. Always great to catch up with him. I know he's excited to come on the show, so looking forward to getting his thoughts on the regular season that was, on the playoffs to come, Always great perspective. Tim Reynolds will be stopping by coming up in about 15 minutes or so, so you don't want to miss that. Also coming up before the bottom of the hour, Panthers head coach Paul Maurice. Had about a 10-minute chat with him and just talked about looking back at the finish to the regular season, looking ahead a little bit to this playoff series on the horizon. So we'll hear from the Panthers head coach coming up later on here in hour number one. Also coming up here over our two-hour playoff preview special. Top of next hour, we had a conversation for an upcoming edition of the Territory Talk podcast. I mentioned there's going to be a new episode of Territory Talk coming very soon, anytime now. Jamison Olive and I were joined by NHL Network analyst Mike Rupp, and you can catch him throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs on NHL Network, but we had a chance to catch up with him earlier. We will listen back to that conversation coming up in a little bit. That'll be shortly after 7 p.m. And then around 7:20 or so, NHL.com Director of Editorial Sean Rourke, my friend and yours, he's going to stop by, and we will talk all things National Hockey League. We will talk about this series that's going to get going in Sunrise coming up on Sunday. We'll talk about the other Eastern Conference series. We'll talk all things National Hockey League with Sean coming up around 7:20 p.m. So that's what we've got in the way of guests coming up. We want to involve you as well. Some tweets are coming in. You can tweet me on the platform formerly known as Twitter, at Doug Plagans, just like we take your tweets during the second intermission of every Panthers radio broadcast. We'll do our own edition of the world-famous former Twitter segment here in this playoff preview special. Again, some tweets already starting to roll in. Looking forward to seeing those as they continue to stream in. I mentioned the Panthers coming up on Sunday, kicking off this series with the Lightning, going to be right here at Amerant Bank Arena. I'm sitting here right now inside an empty Amerant Bank Arena in the home broadcast booth, bringing you this show tonight. It's going to be anything but quiet. And folks, if you're tuned in out there, if you're out driving around, if you have been out to even one Panthers game this season, want to extend a sincere thanks to any of you who supported this team in any way, but especially if you came out to the arena at any point this year. The Panthers top 10 in the league in attendance during the regular season, averaging 18,632 here inside Amerant Bank Arena. The atmosphere was electric all season long, and we hear that all the time from the Panthers players. We hear it from visiting media. We hear it from people who come in with other teams. The atmosphere, the electricity in this building, it's been outstanding, and every single one of you deserves a pat on the back for that. So again, the Panthers top 10 in the NHL in attendance, averaging 18,632. And again, great crowds down the stretch as we ramped up for this playoff run, and the Panthers will get things going. Game one is coming up on Sunday, and we'll have all the rest of the information as far as the schedule for round one goes as soon as we get it. So keep checking floridapanthers.com. Keep checking all the different Panthers channels. All that information is going to be coming out again very soon, so keep an eye out for that. Folks, before we get rolling into this one, because I have some thoughts, obviously, on the first round series against the Tampa Bay Lightning, some things I wanted to highlight, folks, and some reminders as well. Don't miss your chance to cheer on the Cats in style this playoff run. Limited number of playoff suites still available for the round one matchup against Tampa Bay. FloridaPanthers.com, 954-835-PUCK. That's where to go to secure your playoff suite. You can get your ticket information at FloridaPanthers.com, of course, and you can also become a Territory member for next season. Following a sellout of lower bowl and club level seating this season, we have limited availability to become part of the Territory. Don't wait. Get your Panthers seats today for next season. Again, 954-835-PUCK is the number to call. Or, as always, you can cruise over to FloridaPanthers.com. Well, folks, as the Panthers get set to take on the Tampa Bay Lightning, it's a renewal of the Sunshine State Showdown. And I know last year on the playoff run, the Panthers, they beat some stiff competition. They beat Boston. They beat Toronto. They beat Carolina en route to the Cup Final. Very good teams. Didn't beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. Didn't play the Tampa Bay Lightning during last year's run. Remember, they were ousted by the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round last year. And a lot of folks maybe thought that Tampa actually outplayed the Leafs for a bulk of that series. But it was an opportunistic Toronto team that got by Tampa Bay and ultimately ended Tampa Bay's run of three consecutive trips to the Cup Final representing the Eastern Conference. But there are some differences here. The last time these two teams met in the playoffs, everybody remembers 2022, round two, Tampa Bay knocked off the Panthers in that second round series. So the Panthers, they're looking to, you know, they're looking to get past the Tampa Bay Lightning here in this playoff run. It's a necessary step here, but I think when you look at it overall, this is a big opportunity for the Panthers, a chance to go head to head with Tampa Bay, a team that's achieved a ton of success in recent years. This is a big opportunity for the Panthers. When you look back, the last time these two teams played in a playoff series, 2022, Paul Maurice wasn't the Panthers' head coach then. The Panthers have a great system under Paul Maurice, great structure. They defend at an elite level. More on that coming up here in just a moment. We can illustrate just how well this team has defended over the course of the season. 2022, the last time the Panthers and the Lightning played in a playoff series, Matthew Tkachuk was not a Panther yet, and we know what kind of intangibles it factor on top of the elite ability on the ice that he brings to the table. In fact, in 2022, half of this current Panthers roster wasn't a part of the fold. In 2022, the Lightning were two-time defending cup champions, and this the Panthers back then, they weren't as battle-tested as they are now. They hadn't been to a cup final yet. A lot of these guys hadn't, and a lot of lessons were learned last spring. And of course, there aren't any easy matchups in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You hear it all the time. I talk about this all the time on the Territory Talk podcast. Only 16 out of 32 teams in the National Hockey League get in the playoffs. There was a time, a bygone era, when 16 out of 21 would get in. Not the case anymore. You can't fake your way into the playoffs. Every team has a tough test in the first round. The Lightning, of course, they have big guns. Kucherov is coming off a historic season. They're as well coached as anybody under John Cooper. They've got pedigree. They've got the know-how. And I guess if you look at this Tampa Bay team, they do have a lot of those big guns. The depth might not be quite as stable as it was during their Stanley Cup runs, but they did make some nice additions to help shore that up a little bit around trade deadline time. The other thing, though, and I know a lot of you Panthers fans out there talk about this, Andrei Vasilevskiy, potential X-factor, the goaltender for the Tampa Bay Lightning and one of the best of the era. He could does he have the ability to steal a series? Certainly he does. He's a future Hall of Famer, but let's go back to last year in the playoffs. He gave up 3.5 a game, had an .875 save percentage in that first-round series against Toronto. Might not have been 100%. That's why he missed some time to start this year. He didn't have a training camp. Joined the Lightning at the end of November. He had a .900 save percentage this year, which is not where things normally are for Andrei Vasilevskiy. The Panthers beat him. Beat the Lightning, beat him in two of the three games they played this year. Of course, the one game Tampa Bay won against the Panthers this season, it took a superhuman type of performance from Andrei Vasilevskiy. So it was in there, and that came during Vasilevsky's best month of the season. That was the month of March. So, yeah, he was getting stronger as the season goes along. But looking back, 2022, when these two teams met in round two, Ryan McDonagh was still a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning. You could make the argument that in that series, he was the most instrumental defensive player that the Tampa Bay Lightning had. They defended a little differently back then than they do now. And don't forget the Panthers, of course, have Sergei Bobrovsky. He's going to be a Vezina finalist this year, I would imagine. No reason why he wouldn't be top three in terms of Vezina finalists. He was the goaltender who turned in a Conn Smythe-worthy performance last spring, put it right into a great season this year. He is at the top of his game. He had a better year than Andrei Vasilevskiy did. So, yeah, these Panthers, they're different. And accomplishing big things, of course, it could take. It's going to take beating good teams along the way. Tampa Bay, a very good opponent, but this is an opportunity, like I said, for the Panthers to go head-to-head with their cross-state rivals and do something that they weren't able to do a couple of years ago. And I think they're more equipped this time around against Tampa Bay. Going to be a great series, no question. Going to be a physical series, absolutely. Star power on both sides. The eyes of the hockey world are going to be on this playoff series, a renewal of Sunshine State Showdown. But tell you what, folks, this Panthers team is as battle-tested as anybody in the National Hockey League. They have all the weapons. They're deep. They've got great goaltending. Carter Verhaeghe came back that last game of the regular season. He looks good to go. They're expecting to have the full complement ready to roll for Game 1, and that that game one is coming up on Sunday at 12:30. And something else to mention, folks, something else to keep an eye on. There are still regular season games in the National Hockey League tonight that have to be played. And one of them of note, the Winnipeg Jets are playing the Vancouver Canucks this evening. Now, why is that significant? Well, the Jets currently have allowed the fewest goals in the National Hockey League, 196. The Panthers finished the regular season with 198 goals against. If the Winnipeg Jets allow three goals this evening, that would mean that Sergei Bobrovsky and Anthony Stolarz would get the Jennings Trophy. The William Jennings Trophy goes every year to the goaltenders who play at least 25 games on the team that allows the fewest goals. And I love that award because it's cool to see both goaltenders get recognized, get the hardware. For example, Anthony Stolarz, a backup goaltender. It's cool to see a backup goaltender with a chance to get his name on an important award like that. Plus, it's also a full team award. That's something the whole team can hang its hat on. And if the Jets give up two goals, then Sergei Bobrovsky and Anthony Stolarz would share it with Connor Hellebuck of the Winnipeg Jets. If the Jets give up three tonight, the Panthers goaltenders would win the award outright. So something to keep an eye on. Any hardware is good hardware, and it would be great to see Bobrovsky and Stolarz get that kind of recognition for the season that they've turned in. Also, I love it because it's a full-team award. It would be really cool to see this group get that kind of recognition, and the Panthers don't have a Jennings Trophy in their history, so it would be a cool first to get as well. Folks, the playoff preview special is underway. Coming up next, Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press is going to stop by. After that, we've got Paul Maurice, a loaded program here as we get you set for the Panthers and the Lightning. The series begins 12:30 Sunday, 12 o'clock. We'll be on the air with Panthers preview, but we've got a lot to send your way before then, including next segment, one of our favorites, Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press, ready to stop by and help us tee up the series. That is straight ahead. I'm Doug Plagans. We're just getting started. This is the playoff preview special right here on 560 WQAM.
Time for more Panthers playoff preview on AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app, fueled by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks.
Welcome back here on our playoff preview special. Doug Plagans here with you, getting you set for the Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Round one action begins on Sunday at 12:30. 12 o'clock noon, we're on the air with Panthers preview. We'll drop the puck shortly after that. It's going to be a heck of a series, I would imagine. A lot of fun between these two teams getting together for the first time in the playoffs since back in 2022. And, well, we can't have a playoff preview special without bringing on one of my favorite associates with whom I can be associated with from the Associated Press, Tim Reynolds. Kind enough to stop by. Tim, how are you? We keep the tradition going tonight, having you on board on one of our preview shows. This time it's a playoff preview show.
I have never been more fired up for a Thursday evening playoff preview show in my life. I'm telling you right now, this is the Jimmy Butler stuff was only a small part of my day. Preparing for these few minutes with you has been the highlight of my day. I promise you.
Well, we're excited to dig into it. And, Tim, plain and simple, I mentioned it last segment. I think a matchup with Tampa Bay at this stage for this Panthers group, coming off what they did last year, this is an opportunity for this Panthers team. And everybody knows the rivalry, and everybody's excited about it. But this was a Tampa Bay team that ousted the Panthers a couple of years ago. The Panthers changed the style of play. They brought in Matthew Tkachuk. A lot's been done. And now they're ready to take on this Tampa Bay team, and they're very well equipped to do so. How do you look at this series?
Well, it's everything you just said. I mean, this is that series, going through that pain of 2 years ago, brought whole-scale change to this franchise. The way they played, the adjustments that Bill Zito hired Paul Maurice to make, Paul Maurice knowing it was going to take half of the season last year to make this thing work, and going through all of that, and somehow not losing sight that, okay, you're not the same team in the standings, but this is for a purpose, and then it all clicking. Obviously, it worked. They played for a cup final last year. They were in the cup final. This year, 110 points. They win the division. Clearly what they've done has worked. And now you get to go check another box. I think there's obvious motivations. It's the state rivalry. It's for the state championship. We get all that. We know that, you know, Bill Zito and Julianne are very close. You know, they've had a long-standing relationship. I know Panther fans don't like him. I think there's a healthy respect for John Cooper and what he's done, and I'm sure he would say the same for Paul Maurice. But this is the series you have to win. And it's kind of like, you know, there was a chance that there could have been a Heat Magic series at one point. You know, it's the way it was looking. It didn't work out that way. It would have been, it just raises the stakes. It just raises everything. The Panthers know what has happened in the past, in the playoffs, against this team. I think it's fantastic. I know a lot of fans wanted Toronto. I think this is better for Florida. Not because it's less travel and all of that. This is a box you have to check. At some point, you can still have the Lightning say, you know, we're comparable to them. We're still the Lightning. This is a chance for you to say, nope, this is our time. And that's what I think one of the many, many goals of this series will be.
And you mentioned checking a box, and I think on top of it being the Tampa Bay Lightning, I think there would be something to the opportunity to get by Andrei Vasilevskiy in a playoff series. And Tim, looking at it here, in this series going into it, one goalie had a Conn Smythe-worthy performance last spring, carried it right over into this year, and is going to be a Vezina nominee this year. That's Sergei Bobrovsky. The other one was injured, had a surgery, missed the start of the season, had a season below his standards, although his March was his strong was his strongest month. But Andrei Vasilevskiy this season, I think anybody would tell you, not at the top of his game. The Panthers have the goaltending advantage in this series, I believe. But at the same time, how important would it be for the Panthers to not only get by the Lightning, but get by Andrei Vasilevskiy in a series as well?
Well, it'd be huge. And also, too, I mean, let's not discount what this series means for Tampa Bay. I mean, if they don't win this series, this is going to lead to change in Tampa. It will start not a rebuild, but it could usher in a total reload over there. And Vasilevskiy, how he fares in this series, I think is a huge part of that. You're right. He wasn't the same. And it's not, he didn't have a full off season. He didn't have a training camp. He didn't have, you know, all the things, you know, health is everything. And goalies, I don't need to tell you, goalies are weird. Goalies have their rhythms. He never really got into one this year. Yes, he did. His numbers after the All-Star break were much better. He will be up for this series. I just don't know how much it's going to matter given how deep Florida is. They just put, you know, the number that I love about the Panthers, it isn't the shots on goal. It's just the shots that don't get to the net, the shots that get blocked. They take, I mean, I should have looked it up. I think they took more shots than everyone they played. Vasilevskiy is never going to have a chance to relax in this series. And when he's been busy, the numbers show this, when he's been busy, it hasn't really been good for Tampa. I don't think there's a way that he's not going to be busy in this series. I think I totally agree with you. The advantage in net goes with Bob.
Tim Reynolds, the Associated Press, kind enough to stop by here. And, Tim, I mentioned it last segment, but I'm here in the home radio booth at Amerant Bank Arena right now. It's quiet. It's calm. I think I'm the only person in the bowl right now. but coming up on Sunday, it's going to be an entirely different scene. 18,632 is the average attendance for the Panthers, top 10 in the league. What can you say about the electricity that you've seen in this building and the buzz you've seen generated by this team going through last spring and carrying all the way through this year?
It goes back to the pandemic year, and we've talked about this before. Those 3,500 people that were at every game when the building could open for 3,500 people, I think that changed everything. I mean, yes, more fans come when the team is good. I get that. I think that group that was in, they made Panther hockey fun in a 20% filled building when you can only have one person every five seats or whatever the rule was. And ever since then, yes, the team has been winning, which helps. I was telling somebody, I was at a game about a month ago, and I was telling somebody who was at one of their first Panther games, I'm pointing to the upper deck, and I'm like, no, you wouldn't believe. There never used to be anybody up there. except the Ranger game and the Montreal game in that week between Christmas and New Year's. And they couldn't believe what I was saying. They couldn't believe it was ever like that. It's an incredibly hot ticket. It's an unbelievably hot ticket. They could sell more than 18 if they wanted. You know Tampa's going to bring a great contingent. It's going to be absolutely electric. It's going to be an incredible atmosphere, both here and in Tampa. This Panther team loves playing on the road. I'm sure the Lightning love making another team's barn quiet. I think you're going to have great theater. I think it's the best possible matchup outside of a cup final, because a cup final, it wouldn't matter if they were playing me, you, Jameson, and George Richards. They'd sell the place out. And they'd probably win. I like their chances in that series.
I like their chances in that one, too, yep.
We might get a game. We might get one. We might get very, very lucky. One game. It's just a great way to start this thing. Let's start it. I don't think anybody ever wants to see the energy start ramping up. No. I want it at 11 from the get-go. And that's what this series will bring. And it energy never dissipates during a playoff run. It only maintains or gets cranked up. Let's start this thing on an 11. And that's what we're going to see Sunday afternoon at 12:30. Energy is going to be an 11 in that building. And by the way, in a market where we get on Canes fans and Heat fans, I won't leave the Marlins are a different animal entirely. We get on Canes fans and Heat fans for coming late to games. Panther fans, you are so impressive, because that building is jumping at whatever time they tell you the game is. It's so, so impressive what Panther fans have done.
Yeah, it's been really exciting all season long. And Tim, we'll get you out on this one. And I know staying out of the box might be the easiest answer, but if the Panthers are going to have success against the Tampa Bay Lightning here, in your mind, what is the biggest thing that needs to happen? Is it plain and simple just staying out of the penalty box? Because we've seen this season that the Panthers' speed can overwhelm the Lightning when the game stays at 5-on-5.
Yeah, they're not going to stay out of the box, though. It's one of the untold stories, really, about this season. This is not a team that stays out of the box. I mean, if Anaheim's going to pass them tonight, but they're going to be second in the league in penalty minutes. They're going to be first in the league in hits by like a mile. I mean, this is a very physical Panther team. People think a team with Matthew Tkachuk and Sam Reinhart and Alexander Barkov is a finesse team. This is not. This is a gritty team. Led the league in goal differential. By the way, remember, they didn't have Montour and Ekblad for the first quarter of the season, and they still lead the league in goal differential. I think you just keep doing what you're doing. Don't do too much. What they do works. Don't change anything. Yes, you don't want to take the silly penalty. You don't want to take maybe to your point about staying out of the box, they're going to be in there. They're going to be physical. What they can't be is retaliatory. This series is going to get chippy. It is Tampa versus Florida. It's going to mean something to both teams. There's going to be a lot of extracurricular activity in game one. Somebody's going to try to set a tone. Somebody's going to do something silly. Make sure that somebody is the Tampa Bay Lightning. Don't retaliate. Strike first. You set the tone. Put your thumbprint on the game. Don't react to what Tampa's doing. Don't change what you have to do because of situations that they've put you in. Be the more disciplined team. Be the more smart team. You don't have to necessarily stay out of the box to that. Be who you are. Be physical. Take it to them. But keep it within the lines that you've kept it within all year, and they should be fine.
I agree with you on every single point there. Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press. You can find him on Twitter at @ByTimReynolds. And one of my favorite people always, not only to have on the show, but just to see out at the rink. And looking forward to seeing you out at the rink very, very soon, Tim. Thanks again for stopping by. We couldn't do a preview
Dougie,
show
I didn't
without
make
you.
My guarantee.
You did say guarantee. You had a guarantee. What's the guarantee? What is the guarantee, Joe Namath?
I'm going to see you at the parade.
All right, well, I think we've discussed this before, and we determined that we'll be on the same float. We'll be on the same float. I don't know what kind of float it would be. I don't know what it'll look like. I don't know where it would be positioned in the whole parade route, but, Tim, we can share a float. And we could have a float on the float. We'll bring the root beer.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Root optional. Thank you, Dougie.
Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press, thank you very much for stopping by here on the program. Always great to catch up with him. As I said, can't do a preview show of any sort without Tim stopping by. So, again, you can find him on Twitter at @ByTimReynolds. Always great to get his perspective. Folks, we're going to step aside when we come back. Had a chance to catch up with Panthers head coach Paul Maurice. We'll hear that conversation coming up on the other side of the break, reflecting a bit on the first 82 games and looking ahead to game 83, which is Sunday at 12:30. Panthers and the Lightning at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise. FloridaPanthers.com for all the playoff information, all the ticket information, all the scheduling information for the rest of round one as that becomes available. Be sure to keep checking there. Doug Plagans here with you up until 8 o'clock Eastern time. We've got lots more coming your way. Panthers head coach Paul Maurice is next right here on the playoff preview show, the playoff preview special on 560 WQAM.
Let's get back to Panthers playoff preview on AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app, fueled by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks.
Well, welcome back here on the playoff preview special, the annual WQAM playoff preview special. Doug Plagans here with you. Count it down to Sunday's game one. The Panthers taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. 12:30 puck drop here at Amerant Bank Arena coming up on Sunday. So you want to make sure you're either here or somewhere where you can catch all the action. We'll have it for you across the radio network, beginning with Panthers preview at noon coming up on Sunday. Well, ahead of the upcoming first-round series, had a chance to catch up with Panthers head coach Paul Maurice. We talked about the first 82 games. We talked a little bit about game 83 coming up. Let's get right into the conversation. First thing I asked Paul Maurice was, how much do you now look back and process the first 82 games, that regular season?
Yeah, you do reflect back because you need to find, I guess the word I would say, you need to find the thread. What's true of your team? What's the soul in terms of how you package, you know, your first challenge in the playoffs? So we want to, and we've been consistent this year. And I'll go back to training camp where I felt they were kind of all business right from day one. They came in, we ran the exact same camp, and they worked harder. So they came back with motivation. And then I just felt our year, I don't know that we wobbled early at all. We survived a little bit without those key guys, and then we got to be a very consistent game. So we would have blocks of this, you know, it's 4 or 5 game blocks three times a year that maybe we don't love our game. But that's a very consistent NHL team. If you have only 3 or 4 and it's blocks a game, so you're not going a month and a half where you win one when you lose one and you can't figure out why. We were very dialed in. When we got off our game, as every NHL team does, the players were, it was pretty easy for us to fix it. And so the March thing had more to do with the schedule based, where we lost some games, and I think that had more to do with it. I really felt that they have a very clean understanding of the style of game that we're supposed to be playing right from the start, and I think that had a lot to do with the consistency in our game. And then it just, you know, how it goes, Doug. Now it's got to get amped up, right? It's just an adrenaline push now. So it's you need to know your game so that when the energy and the juice and the emotions of a playoff series come in, you can be at your best.
And I have kind of a two-parter follow-up here, but how much of it was guys just picking up right where they left off the season prior? And also, were you impressed at how quickly and somewhat seamlessly the new faces were able to jump right on board a moving train?
Well, a lot of the new faces aren't young. So the guys that we either signed or traded for had some time in the NHL. So those guys have experience, so they're picking up the systems. And they're not really trying to develop their game necessarily. They're trying to fit in their game. So it's easier when you bring in veteran players to do that. The guys that came back, one of the keys to the playoffs is you have to have some success and it has to be consistent so you can remember it. So we have got a 12-game run in the middle of our playoff run that was very consistent in terms of style of play. And the players remembered it. I mean, it became part of who they are.
And how easy does it make it for a team to be confident every single night when you get the goaltending you guys got every single night? I know you said you don't like to meddle too much in the goaltending, and you don't have to when it's going the way that it was.
It's huge because you don't have to ask the question, how much of the play of your team where their confidence is based on being afraid of their goaltending. Because so you'll get that, like in this course, where the goalies start to struggle a little bit, you can just see the game in front of them change. And it's certainly not a situation where, well, hey, our goalie's great. Let's go see how many goals we can score, right? They don't hang them out to dry, but our goalies are hot. What happens to teams is when the goaltending wobbles a little bit, they give 2 feet ice. They don't want to make any mistakes anymore. So your risk profile goes right to the basement. You don't take any chances. And you force yourself into one-goal games, 1-0, 2-1 games. It puts more pressure on the goaltender. So what Sergei and Anthony did for us this year is they allowed the guys to kind of just play the game the right way without managing their risk profile because our goalies couldn't get near it.
Yes, finished on a four-game win streak there to close out the season. Were you happy with how the team handled that? And does it help a team one way or the other? I know everything resets back to zero when you get to the playoffs, but does it help going in feeling good, coming off some victories?
Yeah, for sure. But the reason would be in the second period of the Toronto game, the last game, after the first, it was a loose period, and we don't like that as coaches or as players. That doesn't matter. Who doesn't like it is, can you fix it? Can you change it? Man, did they change it, right? So we knew that we had a chance to finish first. Not that there was a benefit to finishing first. We were arm wrestling against people you're just trying to win. It doesn't matter what it's for. It's just, I'm going to beat you. So we had a chance to win something. And what I liked is the style of our second period. We got back on the puck. We got a little bit more physical. All of that's going to amp itself up. What was missing from our game maybe in the previous couple of weeks, and I'm not including that really heavy part of the schedule in March, because you're not winning all those games no matter what, right? But there was a stretch of hockey. What was missing was some of that physical intensity, which is a really, really big part of our game. There are really good teams in the NHL that don't play with the same kind of physical intensity that we do, but they're very, very skilled. They're very dynamic, and all they need then to be is sharp, and they need to be sharp, and they need to execute, and they need to be skating. So you can do those things without much emotion, right? Like you can skate fast, you can create, but it's hard to play with the emotion that we need to play with to be as good as we can be when you're locked into the playoffs and now you're going and then you're coming off a year where last year you went 2 months of it and you had guys with broken bones playing. It's hard to jack yourself up like that. So even in that time in March, you and I talked about it, I wasn't barking too hard at them. I was a little grumpy if we didn't play very well, but you knew that they were gearing themselves up for this. I've never liked the concept you just flip a switch. I don't like that, because you don't flip a switch. What you do is you kind of wait for the plunger and you get the adrenaline push. So you do what you do, and then, we are going to play way harder in a couple of days than we've played all year. But we should have the capacity to do that, because we play pretty damn hard all year.
And one more on the first 82 before we talk about the series. You guys win the division. Going into that game against Toronto, you knew there were multiple factors that had to happen. Multiple boxes had to be checked to be able to win the division. Did the message get relayed to the bench that it was yours for the taking, that Boston had lost that game and the door was open? Or is that something the guys found out afterward? How does that process go?
Oh, we knew in between periods. That's we didn't have it relayed. They didn't tell us everything that was going on. We knew after the first period that there was a possibility. Now, Ottawa was up 2-0. So, but we didn't like our game, so we barked at them and let them know where it was at, that it might be there. And then after the second and third, we really liked our game. So what pushes you for the last 20 minutes? Well, it's 3-1. We got a chance. And again, it's not like there's a big prize, right? You Toronto, Tampa, there's two phenomenal teams. There's no, we don't have to travel as much. Well, neither does Tampa, right? So there's no advantage to who we were going to play next, except you had a chance to win something. And when you get a chance, if you're competitive, you want to win.
Now going into this series, exciting times with another edition of the Sunshine State Showdown on tap here. Are you already starting to feel some of the excitement, maybe a different type of excitement with it being a rivalry matchup like this?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been part of the Florida-Tampa matchup. I've been part of definitely some playoff series that were against your closest rivals, and there is a difference in them. Every playoff series kind of takes on its own personality, but when it's a rival,
that personality is already formed before the puck drops, right? There's an anger and an intensity, and both teams know each other, and they push each other's buttons, and you know what? I mean, what a great challenge. So both teams, I think, came into their prime at almost the same time, Tampa a little bit ahead of us, and then we went through a pretty significant change of style, and now we're kind of meeting both. I think we're a little bit retooled. They're certainly, no, I think it's the finals. We went to the finals last year. They did it three straight years in a row. That tells you the depth of the, not just the skill level of the individual players, the quality of their coaching, the quality of their game. And we think we're in the mix with them now. So it's a great time for us to kind of come back together. And it's really, it's awesome for Florida hockey. I mean, I came into this league when these were expansion teams. And there were an awful lot of years there where the buildings were completely empty. And there were a lot of questions about, could hockey thrive in a markets like these? Well, the buildings will be jammed. It'll be insane in terms of the energy level. We're in a brand new facility. We've got youth program here. Tampa's got phenomenal youth programs. So it's almost like you got two established NHL teams, except they're in Florida, right? So this is going to be so good for hockey down here, too.
And we'll have a chance to talk maybe more X's and O's as we get closer to game one. But the preparation for you going up against a team, as you mentioned, there really aren't secrets between these two teams. Both are familiar with what makes the other successful. How do you prepare for this one here coming up?
Well, we will just take an extended program. So we have a certain way of preparing for a team on any given day, and we look at basically how they move the puck and how they defend, and then we'll just take a longer look at that, and we will divide it over days. So instead of having your meeting, you know, an hour and a half before the game where you present the team, now you're going to 2 days in before. It's a little longer, but we're not in a situation where we want that to be a two-hour meeting. Like I said, we know each other, and we know what the plan is for each other. We try to get as concise as we possibly can, but we do go into far more detail, and that's it. So we've been running the same program for 2 years, so there's a lot of routine to this, which the players very much like. They know what they're going to get. We're just going to spread it out over a couple of days.
And last thing, last year a lot of guys experienced a deep run like that for the first time, and as you mentioned, it was incredibly grueling. But now, going into the playoffs again, do you sense a different kind of excitement from the guys, knowing that hunger that they want to get back and experience what they did last year and take it a step further?
Yeah. I felt from, like I said, going back to training camp, there was a different kind of focus. This was a serious group. We sit into the meetings now, you get everybody's attention, and they know they need to be dialed in. You don't have to explain it. We've been talking about how hard you play for a year and a half here. And they all understand that. The excitement now is just waiting for it to come, right? This is a more mature group. I think we're a little deeper. They're a little deeper than they were last year in the playoffs. We're a little deeper when we came in. We got five lines. I can only dress four. We got five lines of NHL players. We got nine defensemen. We still have some players playing in Charlotte that played in the Stanley Cup final for us last year. So we have a little bit more depth there. And we have a shared experience by a big chunk of our guys. We know what this is going to be like.
So Panthers head coach Paul Maurice right there. Great conversation. Covered a lot of different things. And the Panthers gearing up to take on Tampa Bay. Game one coming up Sunday at 12:30 at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise. FloridaPanthers.com for all the Panthers playoff information. So big thanks to Paul Maurice, to Tim Reynolds for their time. And we've got lots more coming your way in hour number two. When we get back after the break, we will hear a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast. When I say most recent, I mean really recent, in that I don't even think it's actually dropped yet. So we're letting you in on a little bit of, I don't want to call it a secret, but a sneak peek, if you will, for the new Territory Talk episode. NHL Network's Mike Rupp was kind enough to stop by. Jameson Olive and I had a chat with him. We'll hear that coming up on the other side of the break. And then Sean Rourke from NHL.com is going to join us in hour number two as well to talk all things National Hockey League. So that's coming up next. Hour number one in the books. Back with hour number two as we continue the Panthers playoff preview special. Doug Plagans with you right here on 560 WQAM. QAM.
Let's get back to Panthers playoff preview on AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app, fueled by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks.
Well, welcome back here on the playoff preview special, the annual WQAM playoff preview special. Doug Plagans here with you. Count it down to Sunday's game one. The Panthers taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. 12:30 puck drop here at Amerant Bank Arena coming up on Sunday. So you want to make sure you're either here or somewhere where you can catch all the action. We'll have it for you across the radio network, beginning with Panthers preview at noon coming up on Sunday. Well, ahead of the upcoming first-round series, had a chance to catch up with Panthers head coach Paul Maurice. We talked about the first 82 games. We talked a little bit about game 83 coming up. Let's get right into the conversation. First thing I asked Paul Maurice was, how much do you now look back and process the first 82 games, that regular season?
Yeah, you do reflect back because you need to find, I guess the word I would say, you need to find the thread. What's true of your team? What's the soul in terms of how you package, you know, your first challenge in the playoffs? So we want to, and we've been consistent this year. And I'll go back to training camp where I felt they were kind of all business right from day one. They came in, we ran the exact same camp, and they worked harder. So they came back with motivation. And then I just felt our year, I don't know that we wobbled early at all. We survived a little bit without those key guys, and then we got to be a very consistent game. So we would have blocks of this, you know, it's four or five game blocks three times a year that maybe we don't love our game. But that's a very consistent NHL team. If you have only three or four, and it's blocks a game, so you're not going a month and a half where you win one when you lose one, and you can't figure out why. We were very dialed in. When we got off our game, as every NHL team does, the players were, it was pretty easy for us to fix it. And so the March thing had more to do with a schedule based, where we lost some games, and I think that had more to do with it. I really felt that they have a very clean understanding of the style of game that we're supposed to be playing right from the start, and I think that had a lot to do with the consistency in our game. And then it just, you know, how it goes, Doug. Now it's got to get amped up, right? It's just an adrenaline push now. So it's you need to know your game so that when the energy and the juice and the emotions of a playoff series come in, you can be at your best.
And I have kind of a two-parter follow-up here, but how much of it was guys just picking up right where they left off the season prior? And also, were you impressed at how quickly and somewhat seamlessly the new faces were able to jump right on board a moving train?
Well, a lot of the new faces aren't young. So the guys that we either signed or traded for had some time in the NHL. So those guys have experience, so they're picking up the systems. And they're not really trying to develop their game necessarily. They're trying to fit in their game. So it's easier when you bring in veteran players to do that. The guys that came back, one of the keys to the playoffs is you have to have some success and it has to be consistent so you can remember it. So we have got a 12-game run in the middle of our playoff run that was very consistent in terms of style of play. And the players remembered it. I mean, it became part of who they are.
And how easy does it make it for a team to be confident every single night when you get the goaltending you guys got every single night? I know you said you don't like to meddle too much in the goaltending, and you don't have to when it's going the way that it was.
It's huge because you don't have to ask the question, how much of the play of your team where their confidence is based on being afraid of their goaltending. So you'll get that. Like, in this course, where the goalies start to struggle a little bit, you can just see the game in front of them change. And it's certainly not a situation where, well, hey, our goalie's great, let's go see how many goals we can score, right? They don't hang them out to dry, but our goalies are hot. What happens to teams is when the goaltending wobbles a little bit, they give 2 feet ice. They don't want to make any mistakes anymore. So your risk profile goes right to the basement. You don't take any chances. And you force yourself into one-goal games, 1-0, 2-1 games. It puts more pressure on the goaltender. So what Sergei and Anthony did for us this year is they allowed the guys to kind of just play the game the right way without managing their risk profile because our goalies couldn't get near it.
Yes, finished on a four-game win streak there to close out the season. Were you happy with how the team handled that? And does it help a team one way or the other? I know everything resets back to zero when you get to the playoffs, but does it help going in feeling good, coming off some victories?
Yeah, for sure. But the reason would be in the second period of the Toronto game, the last game, we, you know, after the first, it was a loose period, and we don't like that as coaches or as players. That doesn't matter. Who doesn't like it is, can you fix it? Can you change it? Man, did they change it, right? So it was, we knew that we had a chance to finish first. It, not that there was a benefit to finishing first. It was just, it was, we were arm wrestling against people we don't, you're just trying to win. It doesn't matter what it's for. It's just, well, I'm going to beat you. So we had a chance to win something. And what I liked is the style of our second period. We got back on the puck. We got a little bit more physical. All of that's going to amp itself up. What was missing from our game maybe in the previous couple of weeks, and I'm not including that really heavy part of the schedule in March, because you're not winning all those games no matter what, right? But there was a stretch of hockey. What was missing was some of that physical intensity, which is a really, really big part of our game. There are really good teams in the NHL that don't play with the same kind of physical intensity that we do, but they're very, very skilled. They're very dynamic, and all they need then to be is sharp, and they need to be sharp, and they need to execute, and they need to be skating. So you can do those things without much emotion, right? Like you can skate fast, you can create, but it's hard to play with the emotion that we need to play with to be as good as we can be when you're locked into the playoffs and now you're going and then you're coming off a year where last year you went 2 months of it and you know guys with broken bones playing. It's hard to jack yourself up like that. So even in that time in March, and I think you and I talked about it, I wasn't barking too hard at them. I was a little grumpy if we didn't play very well, but you knew that they were gearing themselves up for this. I've never liked the concept you just flip a switch. I don't like that, because you don't flip a switch. What you do is you kind of wait for the plunger and you get the adrenaline push. So you do what you do, and then, yeah, we are going to play way harder in a couple of days than we've played all year. But we should have the capacity to do that, because we played pretty damn hard all year.
And one more on the first 82 before we talk about the series. You guys win the division. Going into that game against Toronto, you knew there were multiple factors that had to happen. Multiple boxes had to be checked to be able to win the division. Did the message get relayed to the bench that it was yours for the taking, that Boston had lost that game and the door was open? Or is that something the guys found out afterward? How does that process go?
Oh, we knew in between periods. That's we didn't have it relay, and they didn't tell us everything that was going on. We knew after the first period that there was a possibility. Now Ottawa was up 2-0, but we didn't like our game, so we barked at them and let them know where it was at, that it might be there. And then after the second and third, we really liked our game. So what pushes you for the last 20 minutes? Well, it's 3-1. And we got a chance. And again, it's not like there's a big prize, right? Toronto, Tampa, there's two phenomenal teams. There's no, we don't have to travel as much. Well, neither does Tampa, right? So there's no advantage to who we were going to play next, except you had a chance to win something. And you when you get a chance, if you're competitive, you want to win.
Now going into this series, exciting times with another edition of the Sunshine State Showdown on tap here. Are you already starting to feel some of the excitement, maybe a different type of excitement with it being a rivalry matchup like this?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been part of the Florida-Tampa matchup. I've been part of definitely some playoff series that were against your closest rivals, and there is a difference in them. Every playoff series kind of takes on its own personality, but when it's a rival, that personality is already formed before the puck drops, right? There's an anger and an intensity, and both teams know each other, and they push each other's buttons, and you know what? I mean, what a great challenge. So both teams, I think, came into their prime at almost the same time, Tampa a little bit ahead of us, and then we went through a pretty significant change of style. And now we're kind of meeting both. I think we're a little bit retooled. They're certainly, I get to the finals. We went to the finals last year. They did it 3 straight years in a row. That tells you the depth of not just the skill level of the individual players, the quality of their coaching, the quality of their game. And we think we're in the mix with them now. So it's a great time for us to kind of come back together. And it's awesome for Florida hockey. And I came into this league when these were expansion teams. And there were an awful lot of years there where the buildings were completely empty. And there were a lot of questions about, could hockey thrive in a markets like these? Well, the buildings will be jammed. It'll be insane. in terms of the energy level, we're in a brand new facility. We've got youth program here. Tampa's got phenomenal youth programs. So they're, it's almost like you got two established NHL teams, except they're in Florida, right? So this is going to be so good for hockey down here, too.
And we'll have a chance to talk maybe more X's and O's as we get closer to game one. But the preparation for you going up against a team, as you mentioned, there really aren't secrets between these two teams. Both are familiar with what makes the other successful. How do you prepare for this one here coming up?
Well, we will just take an extended program. So we have a certain way of preparing for a team on any given day, and we look at basically how they move the puck and how they defend, and then we'll just take a longer look at that, and we will divide it over days. So instead of having your meeting, you know, an hour and a half before the game where you present the team, now you're going to 2 days in before. It's a little longer, but we're not in a situation where we want that to be a two-hour meeting. Like I said, we know each other, and we know what the plan is for each other. We try to get as concise as we possibly can, but we do go into far more detail, and that's it. So we've been running the same program for 2 years, so there's a lot of routine to this, which the players very much like. They know what they're going to get. We're just going to spread it out over a couple of days.
And last thing, last year a lot of guys experienced a deep run like that for the first time, and as you mentioned, it was incredibly grueling. But now, going into the playoffs again, do you sense a different kind of excitement from the guys, knowing that hunger that they want to get back and experience what they did last year and take it a step further?
Yeah. I felt from, like I said, going back to training camp, there was a different kind of focus. This was a serious group. We sit into the meetings now, you get everybody's attention, and they know they need to be dialed in. You don't have to explain it. We've been talking about how hard you play for a year and a half here, and they all understand that. The excitement now is just waiting for it to come, right? This is a more mature group. I think we're a little deeper. They're a little deeper than they were last year in the playoffs. We're a little deeper when we came in. We got five lines. I can only dress four. We got five lines of NHL players. We got nine defensemen. We still have some players playing in Charlotte that played in the Stanley Cup final for us last year. So we have a little bit more depth there. And we have a shared experience by a big chunk of our guys. We know what this is going to be like.
So Panthers head coach Paul Maurice right there. Great conversation. Covered a lot of different things. And the Panthers gearing up to take on Tampa Bay. Game one coming up Sunday at 12:30 at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise. FloridaPanthers.com for all the Panthers playoff information. So big thanks to Paul Maurice, to Tim Reynolds for their time. And we've got lots more coming your way in hour number two. When we get back after the break, we will hear a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast. When I say most recent, I mean really recent, in that I don't even think it's actually dropped yet. So we're letting you in on a little bit of, I don't want to call it a secret, but a sneak peek, if you will, for the new Territory Talk episode. NHL Network's Mike Rupp was kind enough to stop by. Jameson Olive and I had a chat with him. We'll hear that coming up on the other side of the break. And then Sean Rourke from NHL.com is going to join us in hour number two as well to talk all things National Hockey League. So that's coming up next. Hour number one in the books. Back with hour number two as we continue the Panthers playoff preview special. Doug Plagans with you right here on 560 WQAM.